On our program today, we've got Michaela Kienitz. Michaela is the CEO of the Boone County Hospital. And Michaela, thanks for joining us this month.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
It's been a busy time. We are hard to believe that we're almost through this fiscal year. And you guys are getting, actually, I always watch the financial part to see just it's one of those important things that people keep, well, they question, oh, is the hospital doing okay? Are they not? What's happening? And you are doing very well financially.
We are doing very well financially. We're really excited about where we're at this far into the fiscal year. And, you know, I think Chris and I have sort of made our best guess at where we think we might end the fiscal year for days cash on hand. And I think it's going to far exceed what our goal was, which was 120 days cash on hand, and we're already at around 140. So I'm really hopeful that we'll get closer to 150 by the end of the fiscal year. And, you know, it's really important for us to maintain that stable, strong financial position for the future of our organization.
I would say that one of the big things to me is, again, maintaining that, but there are issues surrounding it as well, too. First of all, people have to be needing service. That's one of the big ones to drive it.
Absolutely. So we've seen a lot of growth, and I think that has really helped drive those numbers. We've seen increase pretty much across the whole entire organization, especially in areas like imaging, with CTs, different outpatient services, surgical services has grown a lot. And so all of those areas that have seen increased usage are really helping to drive those numbers to a really positive place.
And I know one of the things you said in the beginning, you want to keep the OB up there. And yes, you are expecting more babies this year than last year.
Yeah, for this fiscal year, which will end at the end of June, so our fiscal year ends June 30th, we're on track right now to deliver 134 babies. And that is a excess of over 20 babies from last year. We delivered 113 last fiscal year. So we're, you know, excited about that growth. I think the word's really getting out about our providers. Megan Sloat started here in April. She's a certified nurse midwife. So we continue to grow the offering that we have to the community, and we're really excited to see those numbers. And just, you know, that helps us stay competent and keeps, you know, our staff getting the skills that they need and all the things besides our ability to serve our community. So we're really happy about those numbers.
Having someone like midwife on, you know, and I know I would think several years ago, you know, hospitals wouldn't think about having a midwife on staff or being part of it. But is part of that just the flexibility of the services people want?
Yeah, I think that there are a lot of people right now that really want to have that nurse midwife. I think that people feel like they give a special kind of care, a little bit different than what they might get from a different provider. And so I think it's just nice for us to be able to offer a lot of variety to our patients. And so, you know, and also we're working with some of the nurse midwives that don't work here,
sure,
that are doing a lot of home birth. And so we've been getting a lot of those patients as well. And so I think it's good for the community when we're looking at all the different models of care that can be there. And then when we are needed, we are here to help. So I think there's just a lot of different folks out there wanting different models for their deliveries.
Times are changing, aren't they?
They are, yep.
You got to keep up with them too. Well, that's just one of the many things that were going on. Did want to talk a little bit because your presentation during the last board meeting just a week ago was tech services. And a lot of people are going, well, right away, they're not real sure what we're talking about. Basically, we're talking about, you know, like a lot of the services that we make available. Respiratory services, rehab, cardiac rehab, things like that. They have been doing extremely well. And you've been kind of, consolidating all these together?
Yeah, they've seen a lot of growth in those areas. So it's mostly respiratory therapy, echoes, cardiac stress testing, all those various kind of respiratory and cardiac procedures. And so when Peg King retired, I think about 2 years ago, we asked Alicia if she would take on that area as well. So she took over cardiac rehab and pulmonary rehab in addition to tech services. And so that's been really nice that the team there works well together, and they've all had kind of a chance to regroup and look at how they want to grow the cardiac rehab side. And so they've been doing a lot of work on that. But, I mean, the tech services growth kind of just goes along with all the rest of the growth that we've seen through the organization, and it's amazing, and our staff are so great, and they're able to really keep up with all that, and they're excited about it. So it's been really nice to see all of our services doing so well.
I think it was interesting when she gave her presentation, she talked about cross-training. Again, so that different people in different specialties know what's available and can step in and help in other areas when it's needed. And the one thing I really thought was interesting was when she talked about the patient education, how to contain costs, which is one thing.
She did talk about that and trying to really focus on what the patient needs to be educated on versus just giving them all the information that they could possibly ever, you know, read. And so she's talking about containing costs in that way. But cross-training is something that I think we're also working on in not just their area, but other areas, because, you know, when you have the resources here and you can teach people different areas, it's really, really valuable to the organization to not have to bring in an agency staff or something like that when we have people that we just need to be able to move around.
And we're again, it seems to be working pretty well in that department. It is pretty much a big team effort there.
Yeah, they're a wonderful group of staff. They all work super hard to take care of our patients.
Did the usual, the dashboard, again, I explained to people, I said, when we say the dashboard, we're just talking about the monthly review of our goals. And you already mentioned the days cash on hand, staying very positive up to this point in time. And we like that. But we do have a lot of other goals that some you would like to see a little more improvement on. We've been a little slow in getting up there. Patient portal is not one of them.
No, the patient portal is doing really well. I think it's currently at about 81%. And that was really our goal, was to get to 73% was our target. And so we're really happy to see that continued growth on the portal. And, you know, I think we talked about that last time. That just really is beneficial for patients to be able to have that quick access to their results and to ask to message with their provider and their provider's nurse. And I think it gets them that feedback really quick. So our team's been working extremely hard across the organization to try to help people get signed up, to help educate them on how to use it, just because it's easier for everyone involved. So we're excited about that score. I don't think we had anticipated that it would ever get quite that high. So it's been really successful.
Keep going. What is there a point? At a certain point, you got to go with my goal is to at least maintain.
Yeah, exactly. So we're looking at our goals for next year. And so when we talk about maintaining, that's what we're going to focus on for our service goal with meeting or exceeding the patient's likelihood to recommend the organization. So that's the goal this year, is to exceed it. And so next year, our goal is to maintain, since we have met our 89% goal. We feel like that's been really tough to move the needle on that one. That's been our goal for about 18 months or so. So this is our second year of that goal. And so trying to maintain all the growth that we've accomplished is going to be really important next year. So yeah, we're looking at maintaining, and in the patient portal also, we'll try to maintain that one. I think something that's interesting about the portal this year, different than some of our other goals, is that the entire organization was kind of able to take and own that goal, because everybody has a little bit of a different part to it. And so that's been really fun to see our staff really, you know, wrap their arms around that goal and make it happen.
Yeah, no, it's one of those where I'll go on and I'll look just to see what's in mine, and I'm going, oh, there's new people involved here.
Yeah.
There's new areas, so yeah, I got to keep checking and see what parts affect me.
Yeah.
I did want to ask again, last time we talked a little bit about the community needs assessment that was going on. Did see an increase in participation. I know that was one thing you were really hoping for. And starting to see actually some of the preliminary numbers. We really don't have any final, and probably going to be made June before the board will actually get the final report. But some of the preliminary numbers, we see some trends that are continuing, but we're seeing some adjustments in there as well.
Yeah, I think some of the preliminary information, I think the over 200 people took the survey, and last year we were closer to 110 or so, somewhere around there. So I think seeing that increased participation is really helpful to the significance of the information that we received. So I wasn't really surprised to see that the top need right now is mental health, and I feel like I sort of anticipated that that is what the need is, because there's a gap in mental health everywhere. And so that is something that we'll be focusing on next year, and taking the feedback from that survey and really trying to focus on the areas that are, you know, the most needed according to our community. I think the second highest need right now that they mentioned was cancer care. And so we do have oncology that comes here, but we don't do chemotherapy right at this time. And so maybe that's something that we'll start talking about and seeing if there's a way to do some of that, at least here at Boone County. But yeah, and I think that when we looked at from the last survey, some of the stuff that the top things in 2022, women's health was included in that, and this year it fell off. And so I think that that shows that we're doing a good job of meeting that need. And so some other things have risen to the top.
So yeah, the cancer movement that was a big jump for them. One that wasn't included last time was loneliness, which this time you do have questions that involve that. So all of a sudden that started to show in there and stuff. So.
Yeah, we wanted to include loneliness because I think that the public library did a project on loneliness earlier this year, and I think the results of that were pretty interesting to see. And so we wanted to say, hey, how can we work with them and see if we can get some more information about that being a real issue in our community. And it did come up pretty high on the list. And so I think it kind of goes along with that mental health topic and trying to address isolation and loneliness. And, you know, a lot of people got isolated during COVID, and I'm not sure everybody's really recovered from all of that still at this point, especially the older folks that live by themselves. And so, you know, I think that's really interesting. The other thing that was interesting about the survey was the main population that took it, the major age group was fairly young. And so, you know, it's just interesting to see the results compared to the demographics that took it.
Yeah. At that age group, affordability is still up there, but maybe not quite as strong as it was, but it's still in there.
Yeah.
Having the selections, the walk-in clinic, things like that, that's what they do now.
Yeah. And I think access to care, which I think is what you are referring to. I mean, they want to come to the walk-in clinic. They want to be able to get that quick care where they don't have to, you know, make appointments and those kind of things. And so just making sure that we have all the different options for patients to be able to get in and get the care that they need is something that we've tried to work on, and we probably will continue to work on that next year.
Well, one of the big things that's going on the CIO side, I know Evan gave you an update, but getting ready to basically step up to the next level of software with Meditech, which sometimes becomes apprehensive for a lot of people.
Yeah, we're getting ready to do our Expanse upgrade here at the end of May. We're about 29 days away from that. I think it's maybe a month from today, May 28th, I believe. But I think that it's challenging. Anytime you do an upgrade, there's bumps. And so, you know, we've been doing a lot to prepare our staff. They've been doing a lot of testing. So they recently did parallel testing where they have a patient, an actual patient that came in that day. They put them in our regular system, and then they put them in the new system, and they test it to make sure that everything turned out the same in the two systems. And so hopefully doing those different processes will help decrease any issues once we do go live. You know, we know that there will be some hiccups here and there, but I think that our staff have done a really, really great job, and they've embraced this project really well. And so we've got a group of super users, and we have a group of leaders that have been meeting and really talking about, you know, what do we anticipate is going to be the struggle? What do we think is going to go well? Those kind of things. And so we're pretty excited to get there. I think a lot of our struggles that we've had over the past few years with Meditech, we think a lot of those will be improved with Expanse. And so I think we're excited to see those increased efficiencies and in process improvement for our teams.
For listeners that need to understand, obviously it's an upgrade in the software. Basically, instead of Windows 98, we're, you know, at Windows 11. That's basically what we're doing is getting that upgrade in that software.
Yeah, and the system, part of it today is web-based, which is the part in the clinics, and so that's the more advanced model. And so we're basically just moving the hospital side to the web-based. And so for our providers that have been working in the clinic and our nurses over there, that's going to be nice, and I think it will look very similar for them. I think the bigger challenge will be for all the folks in the hospital services, like emergency room and inpatient and some of that. So, it's going to be, and basically it is just a better version of it, and it should work more smoothly. And between the clinic and the hospital, things should flow seamlessly, and they don't always flow seamlessly today.
No, they don't, and that gets to be aggravating.
It is aggravating, and there's a lot of extra steps to it for our teams, and I would really like people to get that time back to spend on other things.
Let's talk a little bit about staff, because we didn't touch too much on staff last time, but you mentioned like surgical procedures, things like that. I know Capital has been doing a lot. You got to be real happy the way that's working out.
Yeah, Capital's going great. We're seeing a lot of growth in ortho, continuing to work with them on, you know, what even a little bit more time might look like at BCH. Dr. Paulson's doing great. Dr. Paul is doing great. So that surgery clinic, the BCCSC surgery clinic, is doing, you know, amazing. Of course, we have our general surgeon and our podiatrist, Dr. Erickson. He does a great job. He's very busy all of the time. So I think, you know, that is going really, really well. We did add a new emergency room physician, Dr. Humad, and we're really excited about him. He kind of hit the ground running right when he started. I think he's really enjoying his time here at BCH, and so we're excited about that. We do have a couple providers that will be leaving the organization, and so we're doing some recruitment. Dr. Chrome is leaving the ED. She has some family stuff that she wants to focus more on, so she's going to do that. And then Don Tingwald will be leaving the Ogden Clinic, and that position has been taken by Janelle Elkin, who's been filling in over there some anyway. So that's going to be a nice, smooth transition. A lot of people already know Janelle.
So, again, still have those opportunities. And I know you've got at least another ED doctor that's, what, going to be kind of part-time PRN, but he wants to – that's what he wants to do.
Yeah, Dr. Warrington, is PRN. He does about one or two shifts a month for us. And he really wants to be PRN. I think that there might be the potential for him to pick up a few extra shifts with Dr. Chrome leaving until we get that filled. But he really wants to be PRN. He's got a lot of other things that he enjoys doing with his time and his family. And so we're very happy to have him on.
So, well, otherwise, both clinics or all clinics seem to be staffed and doing pretty well, at least indications. Phone calls and telephone thing, that's always one of the big concerns. A lot of people go, nobody's answering the phone. They do the best they can.
Yeah, they do the best they can. We don't ever want patients to not get their phone calls answered or to have to wait too long, but, you know, we are really busy, and so just trying to get to everybody in a timely fashion is something that we strive to do.
Well, one thing I know you work a lot on is, again, community involvement. You like that. You encourage all the departments to be involved. We do have the Food for Kids coming up. That's they're gearing up, getting ready to go, and I think we'll be hearing some plans and how people can help contribute and support the effort here pretty soon.
Yeah, I think that should be kicking off here very shortly. Lisa was able to work with Sarah Bain to get a $5,000 grant, and then the auxiliary donated another $2,000 to the Food for Kids, which actually just really helps us to purchase the things that aren't donated. So we get a lot of donations, but it doesn't always quite meet all the need that we have, and so then we end up contributing, and so this money just really helps us to get those items that we need so we can do that so many weeks of the summer. And so that should be kicking off here really shortly. I think that there's going to be a day this year coming up at Hy-Vee where the auxiliary members will be there helping, you know, to ask people to donate to it and that kind of a thing. And so in the last few years, I think that's been at Fairway, and so this year it's going to be at Hy-Vee. But Hy-Vee and Fairway and the Madrid Market and Fairway and Ogden, they all are part of this project, and so we're really happy to be partnering with them on providing the food for our kids in our community this summer.
It's one of those things they forget. Everybody does the food pantries and everything around the holiday time. They forget for most of the kids when they're not in school in the summertime. That's when they have food challenges.
Yeah, I think so many people rely on the hot lunch program to, you know, help our kids. And then when they're in school in summer from, you know, school's not in session, I think that it's tough. And then so many kids are home in the summer and their parents, you know, then they want a snack and all these things that they usually get, those needs usually get met at school. So we're excited to help just to kind of fill that void that happens in the summertime for folks.
I know one thing that I remember Laura presenting it at least 2 months ago, maybe 2 months ago, about the Nursing Honor Guard. Finally started doing that. Would like to get more participants. But again, for retired nurses, if you want to be a part, here we go.
Yeah, we had a meeting on Friday, and it sounds like there were about 15 or so nurses that came to volunteer and sign up to be part of the Honor Guard, which is super exciting. So I think we already had 6 or 7 signed up. And so, you know, we have well over 20 nurses signed up now to participate in that. Some are retired and some are still working. And so it's kind of nice to get a variety, and I'm excited that there was so much interest in it, and really getting that a strong group makes it something that's, you know, maintains viability of the program. And so we're excited. We did our first ceremony, in late March, and it was really a moving experience. I was part of that. And so I think that's, you know, once people see that or they're part of it, it's just something that's, you know, really fills your cup, and and it's fun to see the family be so appreciative, and it just means a lot to them. And so I'm excited that BCH is sponsoring the Nursing Honor Guard.
Well, so folks are going to be starting to hear more about this, but we have a celebration, an anniversary, big one coming up.
We do. The hospital is going to be 125 years old this year in 2025. And so at the end of June, we are doing our 125th celebration. It'll be out in our parking lot area. We're going to have music. We're going to have food. We're going to have some speaking. There will be kids activities. There'll be lots of great things.
All right. Looking forward to it. I know you're busy. You've got a lot of other things doing. I do appreciate you taking time visiting with me and kind of getting everybody updated on what's going on at Boone County Hospital. Got a lot of activities. Again, Trestle Hustle's coming up. That's for the foundation. So, and you also have a lot of awards coming up for nurses. A lot of nominations here. This is going to be a tough one.
We do. On May 2nd, so this Friday, we are giving away two Daisy Award winners, and then we have two Rose Award winners. So the Daisy Award is for RNs only, and the Rose Award is for all other staff to be able to be entered. And so we had, I think, well over 30 nominations for the Daisy Award and 19 nominations for the Rose Award. And 19 people were nominated for the Rose Award, and so some of those people had multiple nominations. So it's going to be very exciting. I cannot wait to see people get the awards and see the momentum that brings to our staff.
I appreciate you taking time visiting with us. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Jim.